let's turn to page number 139. Page 139.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul.
Way. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a wonderful day to be alive in the house of the Lord. I'm glad y'all are all here. Made the journey, please. Visitors, we're glad to have you. Just join in with us. Here in just a little bit, right before I preach, we're going to have Brother Dave come from the Gideons, and he's going to give us a report. And if you've got any questions, you can ask him. And if he can't answer them, he probably knows somebody that can, right? And we may have to get him on the telly. We had a very good class again this morning, as we always do. I encourage you to come. I know that everyone else did as well. We're very blessed with good teachers, good participation here. And God is so good to us. I look forward to Sunday. I look forward to coming and seeing you. We got some of our wayward travelers back. Y'all been all over the whole world?
Yeah, we're glad to be back too.
Yeah. I love going and seeing things like they do, I know, and enjoying God's great creation and all the things, but it's always good to be back home at church after I've been gone. So we're glad you're back. And there's a hole here when you're not here. So thanks for coming. All right, got a few announcements this morning. Got some stuff coming up. It's fixing to get busy again here before long. It'll be November and December and January. And Russ said no matter what, it's going to be fall next Sunday. So
amen.
I hope there's coolness comes along with it. This morning we'll take up two offerings. The second one is for the youth fund. The youth fund funds feeding the kids, trips for the youth, a lot of stuff like that. So keep that in mind as it comes around the second time. As I said a while ago, the Gideon International is here, Brother Dave. He'll give us a report here in just a little bit. Next Sunday evening, the 29th, we will be singing in fellowship. So it'll be regular service that morning. That night we'll sing, and then we'll have some food and fellowship across the way. So we don't forget. I don't forget. My mama said she had a song, and she's coming. So don't let her get out of it. Okay. Yeah, she'll back out if she can. We won't let her. All right. Any other thing? Anything else?
Page 284.
Will shine. I want to go.
be seated. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
Good to see everybody out this morning. I just love to see all these smiling faces out there in this wonderful congregation of people. You know, we have a great gift that God has given us here. We've got a congregation of people that actually love one another.
Amen.
Who we miss one another when somebody's gone. It leaves a hole in our congregation. You can go to a lot of churches today and that spirit is just not there. But thank God that we have it here.
Amen.
The choir is really excited this morning. We're going to do a song for you this morning that you have never heard us do. More than likely, you've probably never heard this song before. We have been working on this for a long, long time. And they have been doing a real good job in rehearsal. So we're going to do it for you this morning. It's called From the First Hallelujah to the Last Amen.
Appreciate the effort they put forth and the practice time and even their director. That's scary. All right, the Gideon's International, they do a great work. We do know that the Word is the power of God spoken to men. So they do a great job of spreading the gospel, getting Bibles into the hands of those that don't have them, don't have access to them. Brother Dave's going to come and give a report, and I told him to take as long as he liked, and y'all don't get hungry very early.
Thank you, Brother Sam.
Before I get started on the Gideons this morning, some of y'all asked about the insurance man, that's Steve Romine, and you know, his wife had a brain surgery back in 06, about time I moved to the village. And she struggles a little bit, and has a little upset condition every now and then, but she's doing rehab and getting stronger, but keep her in your prayers. And Steve, he's having a little test done on his thyroid. They're going to do get a little sample there and get it tested. I guess it's got a couple of them that's enlarged. So keep him in your prayers. He's the one that God used to bring me into this Gideon ministry. Me and Steve go to church together, same Sunday school class, and he invited me to Gideon prayer breakfast one morning, and that was in 2010. But keep him in your prayers. Now to get started on the Gideons, this is what we're about. This little life changer right here, putting this Bible, His Word, in the hands of men, women, boys, and girls. Prayerful hope. It'll lead them to the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I walked in this door this morning, and people started coming in, you could see the joy of Jesus on y'all's faces. I even got a hug or two. So I'm blessed to be here. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And brother, that's what we walk. And, you know, I'll share a testimony. We, down in the country of Mexico, Gideons gather up and go by the hundreds and thousands of different places and do what they call a Bible blitz. Well, this particular one was going on in Mexico City. And, of course, we print the Bibles in whatever language is required. And this one Gideon from the state of Virginia was assigned to a walkway that went across six lanes of traffic. Busy spot, I suppose. And this one young man came up to this Gideon as he was passing out the word, and he offered this young man a Bible, one of his little pocket testaments, $1.35. And the young man refused it. And, of course, the Gideon was busy as people were coming by, you know, passing out the word. Directly, this young man come back and tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, "That little testament, maybe that's what I need in my life." And in the back of these little testaments is a Roman road. And this Gideon commenced to reading him the Roman road and sharing Jesus with him. And he did not have a relationship with Jesus. But when he walked off that walkway, you know, he not only had his life, but he had a Savior. His intent was, when he walked up on that walkway, to jump in that traffic and kill himself. And he walked off with a new lease on life. Our camp is pretty busy. We usually average about 20. We had a record the other day of 23 or 4 at a prayer meeting on Thursday morning. We meet every Thursday morning in Good Sam's. But we do some distributions this time of year, big ones. One of them is the Garland County Fair. Yes, it's hot in that building, but you meet some folks that, you know, they're not sure of themselves or where they're at. And you get a chance to witness to some of them. A young couple come up to me this year, and I'm talking young, I mean, they teenagers. And I offered them a testament. And the young man said, "No, we're okay." And the young lady said, "No, I want one." So, you know, we're blessed to be able to go down there and do that. This year we didn't pass out as many as we usually do, but I don't know. It looked like the fair attendance was down also. So, and we've been praying for this for years. When I joined the Gideons in 2010, we went up to Jesseville School, which is in our district, and we put out Bibles to fifth graders. And somebody raised a flag, and we mixing church and state and put a stop to it. One person. Well, I'm proud to say that the Lord has opened that door back up, and we're going up there this October and do Bibles to fifth graders.
But we kept working at it, and God says had us working at it, and we're getting back in there. Now, 7th and 8th of October, we'll be at National Park College. Last year, our camp passed out 1,300 testaments. It's a big day, and me and another fellow get back there in the back of that campus where they got industrial arts and stuff, and 6 buses pull up at one time. So you for about 10 minutes, you're scrambling, you know, but 1,300 Bibles last year. And nobody's raised a flag about that, so we pray that it won't happen. Folks, every 10 seconds in this world, it has been said that 23 people die in this world. Only 4 of them reach the heavenly gates of God's kingdom, heaven. Only 4. And I don't know where they come up with that number, but if that number is right on, that ought to bother a lot of people. Like, we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should bother us. And another thing I can tell you, that may be a good number because it says 60% of the people in Hot Springs Village don't go to church. So that number may have something. I want to share another testimony with you. Now, like I said, we do Bible blitzes all over the world. This is a country of Ghana, G-A-A-N-A. It's the west side of Africa. And by the way, we get reports that God's opened up a Gideon ministry in some country. I have to go look it up. I don't know where it's at, but he knows where it's at. Another Bible blitz occurred down in this country of Ghana, located on the west side of Africa. This country has like 29 million people in it. 26% of it is Christians. 22% is Muslims. Now, this guy from a camp in the state of Washington went down, and he worked in an area where Gideons have been there since 1966, passing out the word. And this is his comment. I've never seen a country so hungry for the word of God and communities open to the gospel. And he just went on and on about it. He said, never seen such shared and personal testimony going on down there in that country. How many Bibles have been placed since God started this ministry in 1899? 2.5 billion.
Amen.
Now, I say that to say this. It took 102 years to get the first billion placed. But spring of 2015, after 14 years, the second billion was placed.
Amen.
Lord willing, I'll see the third placed. Now, somebody's got to figure it out around 10 years. Because I think our goal this year is over 91 million Bibles. Now, that don't mean printed. That's meaning printed and placed. 2.5 billion Bibles. Final testimony. I just read this in a magazine recently. When Edwin Finley, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Woodville, Texas, hears a church presentation from a Gideon, he's reminded of this story. His mother was the dean of women at East Texas Baptist College. And she had a responsibility going in, not only that, you know, cleaning the rooms out. And what they found at the end of the semester, they found about 10 of these testaments, like I've got here, stashed away in a closet or somewhere in rooms. And one of the guys that was helping wound up keeping 10 of these testaments. And then later on, this pastor who knew this person got a letter from him. One of those college friends emailed Pastor Finley to thank him for the New Testament. His friend explained that he had kept it in his lunchbox now for 25 years. He reads it every day,
during his lunch break. He puts a mark in the front of the Testament every time he uses it to lead someone to the Lord. After 25 years, he's got 22 marks in his Testament. What's God say about his word? It won't ever return void. You know, one day, somewhere, as a Gideon puts out one of these testaments, somebody's going to be touched by it. And we heard a report that Gideon's passed out a testament one time, and there was a construction job going on, and a little short building's over here, and this guy took his testament. When Gideon walked off, he flipped it up on top of the roof. Well, the contractor went up there to work on something. That testament led him to the Lord. So, thank you all for having us here today. I left some inserts back there. One other thing, if you feel led one sometime, you want to buy some testaments, those inserts I left back there, go to their self-address either by me or my wife, and they come straight to our account. But every word, every nickel and offering we get today goes to buying these testaments. Gideons are in 201 countries, over 100 languages. All of these are printed in Nashville, Tennessee, except in the country of China. China don't want you to spread but 350,000 a year. And the reason they know that, they print it in China. And they got an eye on it, you know. But God's got that door open. Even North Koreans are being one of the Lord that have escaped North Korea into China. And then they're going back and telling their family about Jesus. So, amen. Thank y'all for having us today. Offering y'all give today, it's going to buy way over 370-something Bibles. And they'll be put in needy hands. Thank y'all. God bless you.
It's always good to hear these reports. A lot of good work being done. We appreciate y'all. We're glad to just be a little bit apart. And we've got some Bibles back there that we got from y'all that we've been passing out to some of the kids and stuff. And hopefully we'll run out of those one of these days and have to get some more. And so we appreciate what you do. Okay. I appreciate that. All right, I desire your prayers a lot this morning. I think I wrote this sermon and rewrote it 4 or 5 times. And why is it like that? I don't really know sometimes. I can't explain it. I just know that that's God dealing with me. And changed it up a little bit again. So you just pray for me. All I want to do is be God's mouthpiece. That's my desire. So I desire your prayers. We have some letters here that we've sent off for. We're going to take care of that here in just a little bit. So sometimes I get wound up. Don't let me forget. Okay, Gene? Okay, thank you. All right. Anybody ever heard of Gold City? Gold City? Yeah? Heard of him? You know Tim Riley? I mean, he's not with us anymore. Arguably one of the best bass singers ever. I was reading the book of Ruth. And we're going to go to Ruth here in a little bit. I was reading the book of Ruth, and this song came to my memory. It's amazing how that God is in control of everything. A lot of times I think that we forget when situations come up in our life, who's really in control? Because if the truth be known, we like to control our own life and destiny. And really, we're not in control of much of anything, but God is. Reading that book, if you get a chance, read it from front to back. I want to read the lyrics to this song. Think with me for a minute of Ruth and her story. And as I go down through here, the lyrics to this song apply to Oh, many, many people, myself included, and you. It says the Bible speaks of famine and trial in the last day, how they'll sweep through our land. But we have His assurance that through all His trials, we'll be led by His mighty hand. Manna from God will come down from above to restore and to nourish our soul. So through all your trials and your troubles, remember God is in control. And now you may be like David of old in a certain giant trial you may face, but just when it seems you're standing alone, you'll find Jesus there in your place. With a stone of faith, your giant will fall, and Jesus all victory will give. So today, as back then, in this world full of sin, remember, God has it under control. And the chorus goes like this: under control, the winds obey His commands. Under control, when He speaks, the storm be still. Oh, don't be afraid. Though the billows may roll, God's almighty hand is still in control. So rejoice in your soul, for it's under His control. Ruth. Now, Ruth's a beautiful book. I hope you've had opportunity to read it before from front to back. It's a story about a young lady that was descended from Lot in a roundabout way. Ruth, his heritage come from an incestuous relationship with Lot, and she lived in the land of Moab. Now, there's many, many examples in the Word of people that are and have been under God's control. I'll just name a few of them. Ruth, number one, we're going to talk about her. I think of Job all the time whenever I think of this. Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? He was sent off down into bondage to protect God's people, ultimately. God was in control of all that. How about Jonah? Didn't want to go where God wanted him to go, but God had a big fish swallow him, and 3 days he was in his belly, and He spit him up on dry land, and he went down there and he preached to those people, and they repented. Moses was born in a time whenever all the male children were being executed, killed, placed in this little basket, floated down the river. Just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him. And I think of Israel, the nation, God's people, and everything that they went through and what they're going through now. And it seems bleak to them a lot of times, but I would have them know that if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God has their destiny under control as well. The church. I think of the church a lot because the church today is being persecuted. Many people don't realize this, but Christians worldwide are being persecuted more now than at any other time in history. Part of that may be because there are more Christians. Part of it may be just because of the sin state of the world, but it's true. We live in this great nation that we are so fortunate to be a part of. We're blessed beyond belief because God has it under control. We look around at situations that we're in, whatever they may be. I think of Walter. I sent the lyrics of this song to my friend Roy in the hospital. He knows Jesus. Walter knows Jesus, but times are hard. And sometimes we need to be reminded that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God's in control. Nothing catches God by surprise. Because of a famine, Naomi and her husband and her two sons went off down into the land of Moab. About 10 years after that, Naomi found herself there with two daughters-in-laws, both sons dead and her husband dead. It would be pretty bleak, wouldn't you think, to be a woman at that time off down in a foreign land. But God led her back to her people. She called her two daughter-in-laws together and And she urged them to go back to their people and remarry and start another family. But Ruth refused to go. You know why? Because Ruth had come to know God. And Ruth 1, verse 16, the word says it better than I ever could. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Back to Bethlehem they went, Ruth and Naomi. Back to Naomi's people. Back to Jesus is where the world needs to go. Sadly to say, I'm afraid that a lot of Christians need to go back to Jesus. I don't believe you lose your salvation because Jesus Christ did that on the cross. But I believe that we can, if we're not careful, get to a point where sometimes we may even doubt our own salvation, the lives that we're living. We need, as a church, to stay focused on Jesus. We need, as a nation, to go back to focusing on Jesus. God truly is the only constant thing that we have. And nothing else stays the same. Only God. People will let you down. Churches will struggle at times and be attacked by Satan and other worldly entities. My prayer is, continues to be, that God would build a hedge around this church and protect us from those fiery darts that's fired at us from Satan. I think of Job when I think of that. You know, Job had a hedge built around him. He was protected by God. Satan asked God a question. In Job 1 and 10, it says, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his sustenance is increased in the land." Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. We ought to all be praying this hedge of protection around this church and around our individual members like Job had. And when we live behind this hedge, Satan's attacks can't get in. When we live behind this hedge, the power of God keeps us safe and we prosper because of it. I pray that God would help me not let Satan in this church through me. And that should be all of our prayer. I believe that I should go the extra mile, as should you, to make sure that we don't let Satan in here. We do have a special group here at Oak Hill. Don't take it for granted. It's up to us to pray this hedge. Ruth was protected and guided by God. As you read the story, you will see, as the others that I mentioned were as well. But I think about Ruth after reading this book. She came from her land, had lost her husband. She came back to Bethlehem, and she had no way of making a living. The only way they could eat was to go after the harvesters and to pick up the grain that fell after it was harvested. Think about that. Today, those grains in our culture are eaten by the birds. And that was the only way they had to survive. Hard work. Boaz saw her there, and I believe that God placed a burden on his heart for her, and he allowed her to even go in and harvest where the harvesters were. And this may sound like little to you, but in one day she gathered a whole bushel. That's a lot for those that go after the harvest. Think about this for a minute. Ruth, a Moabitess, came from a foreign land, knew God, allowed God to use her. Boaz was her kinsman redeemer. It's a whole other sermon. But kinsman redeemer literally means the one who has the legal, moral, and ethical right to pay the price for you. Jesus Christ is that for us. What a picture. Boaz was one of two. The other one didn't. He was before Boaz, but God had a plan. And he turned down, and Boaz took her as his wife. And God blessed her. And here's how. Do you know that she was the mother of Obed? Do you know who Obed was? Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And that's the lineage that Jesus Christ came through. This non-Israelite woman that allowed God to use her and that stayed faithful to God, she was part of the blessings that the world received through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus can do for us. He can bless us like they did him and the other Godhead. A kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can pay the price for your sins. Well, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus didn't. That's why we preach the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we share the word, because the power is in the word of God. All of these testaments that are passed out by the Gideons, those that we give, what we read from, what we study, that literally is God's word written to us. The Bible tells us that there's only one way to get to God. That's through Jesus Christ. This church stands for that here at Oak Hill. We know that God blessed us with Jesus. We know that we're here for a purpose. We know that we're here to serve God. The Spirit, the Bible tells us to try the spirits, and the way you try the spirits is that any that come not proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him risen, crucified, buried, it's a false spirit. Folk, we have the true spirit here. Let's guard against any that might attack, against the wiles of the world. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're going through hard times, God is the one that has you under His control. And what we have to do is submit to His leadership and His will in our life. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His. We're just put in place of caring for it. My prayer is that we would ever be found preaching and teaching the Word of God in truth and in spirit. I desire your prayers. This church needs your prayers. But God has it all under control. All we have to do is give it to Him. You know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my burden is light." And I admonish you, if you have things going on in your life, you can bring it right here to this altar and give it to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where it has to start. And Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's where we have to start. If you want peace in this life and joy, you have to go through the Spirit of God and accept Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can pay the price for our sin debt, and He's already done that. In Romans 10 and 9, the Scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We wear the shirts. We had them printed. It says, whosoever shall believe on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm proud to stand before you this morning and say, I am a whosoever. I pray that each and every one of you are. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could be the last opportunity that you have. I want to ask that Gene and Linda Gale would come. While they're coming, I want to accept these letters. We've already accepted them upon receipt. So I'm going to ask y'all to come forth for the right hand of church fellowship. The invitation will be open as we do this. If you have a need, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to listen to you. We can kneel right here at the altar. Irvin Slate, Jane Slate, and Debbie Hensley, we have your letters. If you would, come forth, please. Mary Burks, we received your letter as well. If you would, come forth. Also, Lawrence and Tracy. These have all been recommended to us from their previous churches. Stand with me, please, for a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful, Lord, for these that you've sent our way. And Lord, we pray that if there's others in our midst, that you would have join us here in our efforts of serving you, that your will be done in each and every life. If there's any here, Lord, that's lost and don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, our prayer is that they would receive him before it's eternally too late. I thank you for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Lord, clear our hearts, clear our minds, and help us to focus on your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page number 270.